Not good. The throw wasn't terrible. The decision was awful. And there was a lot of that. I don't know what Nick Foles is doing right now, other than bus-tossing his coach and playing some terrible football and not being able to escape a rush. Thanks to everybody who was a part of this Tuesday Bears Monday today. Patrick Maddeley and Hub Arkish are guests. Brian Gertz had the video feed on Twitch and was moderating the discussion on Twitch. Jay Zawoski, our executive producer, and Adam Studzinski on the board in the stead of Ray Diaz. And now it is time for Lawrence Holmes. He always does a little flash video monologue right after the game, as he did last night. And by the way, if you're not a part of the Score's complete multimedia coverage after games, not only do we have the Prop Swap post-game show presented by PNC Bank, but immediately his video gets up. I try to post a column as quickly as possible. David Hall writes a column. Chris Emma writes. So Score and Sports Radio 670, or 670thescore.com, I should say, is a one-stop shop for all kinds of immediate post-game Bears coverage. Lawrence, how are you?
I'm good. I wonder if the Bears are going to have some conversations up at Hallis Hall or via Zoom today, and whether Brian Griese is going to be a part of those conversations. Dan, I was covering the Bears when Griese-man went 97 yards against the Eagles and was calling his own plays, or at least he told us that he was calling his own plays. And then they were like, well, wait, you were calling your own plays? Yeah, the headset went out. Oh, and then everyone got upset in the Bears coaching staff. And here we are 13 years later, and Griese-man does it again. He puts someone else in the weird, awkward position of, well, maybe I just bus-tossed my coach. And I appreciate the conversation that you and Hub had about how something like that happens. And I think that you guys nailed it. I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, Patrick Maddeley brought it up too. It's just, you know, you're not supposed to say it quite that way. You have the information for your own edification, and then you use it to make yourself sound smart.
Right. And there are ways to even talk about it where he can go, man, I wonder if some of the play calls that the Bears are getting in, if there's a full belief that they can pull off those play calls, or if they can scheme and protect it the way that Matt Nagy has it drawn up on the board. And I'm a little surprised. And the thing is that I kind of don't want to let Griese-man off the hook, because it's not like he's a first-year broadcaster. This is just his first year in the NFL. He's right. Been doing college football for a decade, and I'm sure that they get similar type meetings. And he should know from his experiences of playing a quarterback of there are things that you can say and there are things that you can't say. Now, that's putting it totally on him. To be fair, maybe Nick Foles did say, man, they are doing some stuff here that I didn't do in Philadelphia. There are some things that we can't block, and I'm uncomfortable with how it's going. And he did want it on the record and out there in the public. Because we've seen him a couple of times publicly at least look like he's challenging his coach. And I don't mean that as a pejorative. I mean that the quarterbacks maybe see some things that the head coach doesn't see and try to relay that to him in real time instead of waiting until they get into the film room. And some of this stuff still isn't fixed.
I think it's critical to note that this was said in the middle of last week. This wasn't said in the heat of the moment after a game. It wasn't during the game. It had nothing to do with last night's game.
Correct.
And that matters, because Nagy's response was as if it had to do with last night's game. I got to look at the film. He wasn't talking about this game. So it's really interesting to me that maybe sort of this aw shucks, Nick Foles, I listen to Christian rap whole kind of thing. Maybe he's feels a little more entitled. Maybe this really is closer to Jay Cutler's tell Martz I said F him kind of moment.
I don't know if I want to go that far with it, Dan, but it opens the door to a lot of questions where, think about this. Whenever there were issues with what was going on with 10 as the Bears quarterback, we never heard it from 10.
No.
It was never through what Mitch was saying to people behind the scenes or off the record or on background. It was never any of that. The stuff that we were hearing was coming from, like, the coaching staff, when it came to what was going on with Mitch. So if we are going to, I look at it this way. If we're going to give guys the benefit of the doubt when we're talking about the concept of leadership inside a locker room, that bringing in this particular guy is good for our room, when there are moments when the guy isn't good for the room, when there are moments where that was basically like the equivalent of the Dwight Howard thing with Stan Van Gundy, where the coach is sitting there like, wait, what? Because I don't think that Matt Nagy was, I think that he was caught off guard. And there was some great, it was really great reporting by J.J. Stankovic in both asking what was going on with Nagy and then pressing Foles in that conversation.
It was really good.
Like, yeah, like, but where was the miscommunication at, Nick? Like, where was it at? And now, on top of everything else that the Bears have to try and work through this week, they also have to work through that.
And this is also with the looming possibility. And I think the other major question facing this team, and I'm not necessarily advocating for this, but as I tried to articulate earlier in the show, if Nick Foles became the quarterback because he understands the system and he's a better fit for the system, if he's still bad and the offense is still bad, maybe the system is bad, and maybe we shouldn't be trying to optimize the system, and maybe having a quarterback who can move is in the best interest of scoring more points.
Welcome to the resistance. This is what I've been saying for weeks, that you can put this all on the guy that used to be the quarterback of this team if you want. You can say that he's the problem, and once we get someone who understands the system, we'll be good to go, and we'll be off to the races. And then you get the guy that you want. You get the guy that was in the system. You get the guy that is coached, that is played under every guy on your offense coaching staff. And your offense still looks like this. Your defense outscored your offense last night. You had another game where you didn't score in the third quarter. Your offense comes up with 3 points. Maybe it's you, dog. Maybe it's you. Maybe you need to look in the mirror and figure some things out. And maybe I heard you and Patrick talking about the play calling aspect, and I thought it was a wonderful conversation where it's not an abdication of the job forever. You could do it for a couple of weeks. Maybe it would give you some perspective on what it is that you're doing. I think that one of my biggest issues with Nagy is understanding game flow and the connectivity of a game plan. This play builds on this play, builds on this play, or we're doing this play to set up this play in the third quarter where we're going to show that same look and we're going to run something different. McVay did it yesterday. The Rams offensive line is not great, but they were able to scheme run plays that produced a bunch of chunk run plays yesterday. And that's what you need to do. That's the creativity that people thought they were getting with Matt Nagy, and they have not gotten it.
They also block better. We can talk about scheming. We can talk about alignments and tactics and everything. But at some point, no matter what is drawn up, there is somebody standing across from you in the other colors. Just get in his way. Do what, like what Olin Krutz says, be physical, get into somebody's body, move someone backwards. There were just too many flat out whiffs among the blockers yesterday. Too many times where they got ragdolled. And unless that stops, there is no good scheme.
Coward was the main culprit of this. I went back and looked at the dominance of Aaron Donald in that game yesterday. He had 10 pressures, Dan, for the season. He's got 46.
It wasn't just him, though.
I know, but to speak to you, and he also had the tackle for loss in the backfield where he gets Montgomery because Coward can't get to him. This guy picked up 22% of his total pressures in last night's game. And he was already leading the league in pressures. That's how bad it was. Leonard Floyd was out there tossing Bobby Massey around.
Like, and now he's using his hands, right? All of a sudden, now Leonard Floyd is using his hands.
And he's using them against the Bears. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to talk about all of this stuff and the fact that the Bears apparently have Willie Beeman quarterbacking for them. He's calling his own plays, doing his own thing.
Have fun, Lawrence.
Thank you, Dan. You can listen to Dan Bernstein between 9 a.m. and noon every day here on The Score. You can listen to me from now until 2 o'clock. This hour is being brought to you by ComEd. Discover convenient ways to pay your ComEd bill at ComEd.com/pay. Herbie, let's go!
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Groats, before I let you go, can I throw something at you that you should put on your chart?
Absolutely. I'm getting my Sharpie out right now. Go ahead.
All right, so this is my little sneaky thing that we need to pay attention to in the game. Rams punter Johnny Hecker.
Okay.
He is having one of his best years ever as a punter because he's averaging, I think, 48 yards per punt. That's one reason. The other reason is that even back in the Jeff Fisher days, they love to run fakes with him out of punt formation. He throws the ball really well. They haven't run a fake with him yet so far this season. I'm just saying, watch out for Johnny Hecker. He is a secret special team weapon.
Lawrence, you just made the chart. Congratulations. Yes! This information might pop up.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Yeah, and all he did was kept punting the ball inside the 10. I don't have a lot of time for this particular subject, but before we get started with the particulars on today's show, does Ted Ginn catch punts anymore? Is the strategy to not catch them and hope that the ball turns over and flips back the other way? Or they really miss Tariq Cohen in a lot of different facets of the game. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. We will talk with Anthony Heron at 1 o'clock, and we will get his thoughts on the game. It is Tuesday, and I will do my top five players as my top five topic today. Top five Tuesdays coming up. So, yeah, there's a lot to discuss with the Bears, and I appreciate you for hanging out and hanging out with The Score all day. The coverage has been fantastic. If you would like to talk today, whether that's via the text zone or if you want to call the station, I will allow it. 312-644-6767 is the number. Shout out to everyone who is watching the show on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. You can check out the hat that I'm wearing if you're on there. So I'm going to go through my top five at 12:40, so make sure that you stick around for that. Let's get into it. I said it last night on a couple of different platforms, one for The Score, one for House of L, and I'll say it to you here, The Score listener. If you've been listening to this show for the last few weeks, I've asked a question that hasn't really gotten an answer. What's wrong with your offense, Matt Nagy? Everyone assumed that the thing that was wrong with the offense was the guy who was playing quarterback, that it was on Trubisky. And look, there's enough evidence to tell you that Mitch is not great. There's enough evidence, and I'm not here to tell you that he should be the quarterback. I'm not here to tell you that they should make a change. What I'm here to tell you is none of this stuff matters if the head coach doesn't have the creativity and the conviction to do things better. There's a lot of talk about, well, we have to get into the details and all of these things that we're hearing from Matt Nagy. Maybe he's trying to figure out the whys. I was talking with one of the reporters this morning that Matt Nagy's always trying to figure out the whys. Maybe the why is in the mirror. Maybe it's in the mirror. Because your offensive game plan doesn't connect. Plays don't build on plays. And some of the stuff is just bizarre. The fourth and one call, the pitch play to the short side, where you're going to have Patterson start, 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage and hope to make that play. What the Rams showed you last night is out there on the edge, their guys can tackle. and they stopped a couple of first downs because their guys won at impact and were able to turn Bears ball carriers sideways. But forget about that for a second. For the last 2 years, I have been told about David Montgomery. I have also gone back and looked at the tape of him at Iowa State. This is a guy that seems to fall forward. And I understand that the offensive line itself is not good. That the line of scrimmage is getting reimagined on every down. I understand that. You have to have something that you like and you can consistently do if you're the Bears offense. You have to have a play that you can count on third and short, fourth and short. And you have to be able to win a battle. I don't care whoever they think their best lineman is or best blocker is. And I got to tell you, from what I see in their short yardage plays and where they get the most bang for their buck in their run game out of 11 personnel, I think they think their best blocker is Javon Wims. And they might not be wrong. But having a run game that is based on the blocking ability of a backup wide receiver, not great. You should be able in that moment to run at least three different plays, fourth and short. And I get, maybe you don't want a quarterback sneak because Aaron Donald is sitting right there and he was pushing your guard and your center back all night long. Okay, fine. You can go out to the left or the right. Very simple. I write 24 lead. You can take a J.P. Holtz or a Cole Kmet, put them in the backfield, give them a running start to get you the 1 yard. Instead of saying, well, you know, we're going to pitch this. If I'm Montgomery, I'm furious. Sure, the run game is only averaging like 2.5 yards per carry over the last 4 weeks, but that's why you were brought in. He was supposed to be a difference maker. And if you can't trust him in that moment, then your offensive roster is tragically flawed. And it might be tragically flawed anyway. But I think all of us can go, okay, if they fail on the 4th-and-1, where it is David Montgomery off of right guard or off of right tackle, and they fail in that moment, you go, all right, you gave yourself maybe the best opportunity to succeed. But the pitch play stuff, again, to the short side of the field, you're not even offering Patterson a lot of room to make a move. And he's not that back. I am all here for coaches trying to figure out ways to get creative and get guys who make plays the ball in their hand. But you got to give him a chance. And he didn't give him a chance. Now, that's one thing. There's another thing that we need to talk about. And that other thing that we need to talk about is the fact that the Bears' defense got destroyed yesterday. Joe Ostrowski brought it up. Warren Sharp does his rankings of explosive runs. Explosive runs are defined as runs that are more than 12 yards. The Bears lead the NFL in giving up explosive runs. And they did it again last night. You had runs of 12, 16, 25 yards. And you had runs that were right on the border of being explosive runs. You had a bunch of 11-yard runs, 10-yard runs, 9-yard runs last night for the Rams. And the Bears couldn't stop it. Even in the play where you want Too Short to come out and blow the whistle, they weren't able to stop it. And this has been something that wasn't just this game. The defense that everyone, and myself included, has put so much on, they get gashed in the run game quite a bit. And the Rams are not a great running team. They have added elements of their run game over the last few weeks. They have changed who they are personality-wise a little bit from who they were last year and who they were in 2018. But their running back got held to, I think, 1 yard last week against the 49ers. And then you saw chunk play after chunk play after chunk play. Explosive run after they did it in such a great way. You saw what is possible.